Everybody, welcome back to Simply Soccer. I am your host, Michelle Hooting, back with my co-host, Christian Conway.
Feeling a little more golden after the weekend, if I do say so myself.
I assume you're talking about the Women's Gold Cup, of course, and the one and only U.S. women did get the win that we were all hoping they would.
Yeah, I mean, a fantastic performance from a young group that I think, honestly, it wasn't easy. I mean, you look at what happened on Wednesday night when in those conditions. You look at a Brazil team that took it to them, that made it hard for them at pretty much every opportunity. But I think what was really encouraging about this game and this tournament, if you are a US Women's National Team fan, is they figured it out. And I think, what we ask for when we talk about young groups of players, the one thing that is they need to learn through adversity, because you can tell them this is going to be tough as much as you want, but you have to live it, if that makes sense. And they did. They lived it. And it was tough and it was not easy and it was difficult and it was all those things, but they figured it out. And so when they lift the trophy on Sunday night, it's the sense of it felt like it was just a little bit more than just lifting one trophy. It was, hold up, this group now has achieved something and now they can build off of this. This is a building block. And we've talked a lot about the US Women's National Team and the fact that they are a young group, they need to have their moments. Like, what builds that legacy or that dominance is these kind of moments where you go through a tournament and yeah, they struggled. I mean, a loss to Mexico at the last bit of the group stage, the game against Canada on what was it, Wednesday night, those were moments where this team could have fallen on their face, right? Like, this team probably should have fallen on their face, but they didn't. And that's the thing is, we are famous for talking about how international tournaments are pass-fail exercises. They passed every test. And I think that's a huge, huge thing for this young team that needed a big spark. And I think they got it.
Well, that's easy to say post-match, right? I did not feel as good as you sound during that match. All the credit to Brazil for giving the US a run for their money. I could see the look on Brazil's face when they were going up to accept their medals. I mean, they're a very worthy opponent, and I mean, I understand why they're mad, but at the end of the day, the US, it came down to Haran. Like that's what I see. That's my takeaway from this game, that she was shining last match, even though it was Nair's game. When she finally got that goal in, I was like, well, that's who's leading this team right now.
Yeah, I think with Brazil, obviously, it's a group that is somewhat younger. So they're also kind of in the same boat as the US. And I agree with you 110%. I think over the 90 minutes, I was not as confident as I sound now. I think Brazil was good for a goal in that game. And I really do believe that. But again, you look at the senior leadership of this team, Alex Morgan, Lindsey Horan, as you said. But you look at a lot of the younger players too, like a Nyswanger or like a Naomi Girma or Jaden Shaw that really took the mantle. And I think that's the thing is true. Lindsey Horan is one of the senior leaders on this team, but it also was leadership from the likes of Naomi Girma, Jaden Shaw, et cetera, that got this team through this tournament. And I think it's what we are seeing is a passing of the torch, which is watching a younger generation finally understand, oh, hey, we can be leaders too. And I think that is a really, really interesting thing as we kind of enter into this next generation, because we are watching in real time, a passing of the guard, right? The Alex Morgans, the Lindsey Horan. Well, Lindsey Horan will still be a part of this team for a very long time, but maybe like an Alex Morgan, last year we saw with Megan Rapinoe, like, we are watching a passing of the torch. And I do think, yes, in the most critical moment, it was one of the senior leaders of the team that just basically said, all right, grabbed it by the scruff of the neck and said, I'm going to do this. But it was a lot of the younger players basically saying, or I guess finding their voice, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad that you said that because there's still management that's going to shift. And now that the US women have collected some more silverware, yes, this team is building more cred. They're building their own legacy. I feel like there's a lot of shadow of, like you're saying, with Rapinoe and obviously Morgan still being part of the team, that these young up and coming players deserve their own shine and their own time to build this team. And so I'm definitely proud of them and the performance that they showed. Obviously, you have your regulars. I mean, I can say Trinity Rodman is a staple now of this team. And I'm thinking of I don't know why I'm blanking out all of a sudden, sorry. Roosevelt, of course, your girl, right? Like when you see these names, it builds confidence in the team. But just to be able to see them perform on a much better pitch, by the way, Snapdragon looks so much better this time around. Yeah, it was honestly, I didn't, like you said, I didn't feel as confident in the team. It wasn't the most exciting game, but they got the job done. And I think moving forward, that's what matters.
Yeah, and I will say, I think, there's some injuries around this team that this even looks, I mean, for a pre-Olympic and pretty much the last time this group will convene before the pre-Olympic camps that will occur, you have to feel good about the summer right now because the way that they performed, the way that they handled things, the way that they managed things, it just felt a lot, I guess, a lot more settled than I think we felt with the US women's national team in a very long time. I also think, Kat Macario finally kind of coming back into the scoring, after that horrendous ACL tear. You have Mia Fischel, unfortunately unable to play in this due to an ACL problem. And again, the epidemic of ACL tears in women's soccer does continue. But I think you look at this team and you just feel like the one thing that I think you wanted coming out of this Gold Cup going into the Olympics this summer is I want to feel good. I want to feel like, okay, everything's settled. And my thought was like, okay, if they get to the Canada game and they lose to Canada in the semifinals, but if they turn in a couple of good performances, then, okay, everything's going to be okay. I mean, this thing could have gone off the rails after that Mexico loss. Like, this thing probably should have gone off the rails after that Mexico loss, but it didn't. Because they were able to gather themselves, able to focus themselves, and able to just be mature, I guess, for lack of a better term. And I understand they're professional athletes, that's what's expected of them and all of that. But it did just feel like a little bit more of a cultured kind of team than what we saw in 2023 or, we've seen over the past couple of times. It just feels like they're like, okay, we got this. And Jaden Shaw stepping up in the way that she did, and Naomi Girma stepping up in the way that she did. And I know I'm talking about San Diego players, but they are incredibly impressive, and they are the cornerstone of this team right now. But also Sophia Smith having a fantastic tournament. I mean, there are legitimate positional questions where you're like, was that person better? But that season, they had this type of season. I don't know. Like there is that sense of, oh my gosh, we are spoiled for choice. And it's been a while since we've been there. And now, there's a very clear loop of, all right, I'm going to take this and I'm going to grab it by, the scruff of its neck. And this is going to be my position. This is who I, like I'm going to establish myself here. And I think that's been really awesome to see and to be around. And I'm excited to see kind of where the Olympics in the summer really land us because I think that's going to be a very big test for this team.
Yeah, and now they're going into it, like I said, with a lot more stability and a lot more to show for their work. I mean, I'm putting a lot of weight on this Gold Cup, and I hope that that's going to reflect in the summer. I mean, it sounds like it's so far away, but when it comes to the team working together and continuing this momentum, I think it's very much looking bright.
Yeah, I I will say that was a very impressive performance. And also, I mean, I'll give Twyla Kilgore and her coaching staff a ton of credit, because this was a very tricky kind of thing, considering that Emma Hayes will be coming in what is it, in March, April. They really kind of had a very delicate dance to dance. And so them managing it in the way that they did, I think was very impressive. And I'm very hopeful. And I think Emma Hayes, you know, watching from afar with Chelsea and everything, would have to be as well. You know, I just don't think, I don't think you watch this tournament with the US. And yes, the loss to Mexico did happen, and that's going to be something we really kind of need to just keep on the radar. But you also have to feel like this was a huge turning point for the US women's national team at a moment when I think after 2023, they really needed it.
Any other thoughts before we move on to our LA
Yeah,
Galaxy? Yeah, go for it.
I think there's going to be one interesting conversation, however, just to I not make it negative, but at least kind of we have to start talking about it, which is winger at on the US women's national team, because they are saturated at on the flanks, but the center midfield position, I mean, we don't really know what the best balance is. And I think that's a really interesting conversation moving forward, because you saw Kilgore bring out about three different or four different central midfield combinations. And it did feel like they figured out that tournament without having a very clear idea of, all right, who's our best pairings and our best kind of, where does the best balance come? And that I think is going to be something we should be watching coming into summer, because that is one of those things, one of those positional ideas that you need to have settled by the time you walk into a major tournament. They got away with it here. I don't know if they'll get away with it in Paris 2024. Like, that's where I think if there's one area where I'm kind of sounding a little bit of alarm bells, I don't think it's necessarily a, you know, DEFCON 5, you know, klaxons raising everywhere. But it is something to keep in mind on the radar about positional log jams with winger and a positional kind of question mark at outside back and center midfielder. I think those are going to be the big kind of conversations. And then also, we talked about it last week. Alyson Ayer is 36. Like, you do have to find a successor at some point. There were none on that roster that I felt were going to be successors. Like, you, we, yeah, like that's going to be another conversation. So there are, I'm not saying it's all sunshine and rainbows, you know, gumdrops and candy and all the rest of it. There are still some problems that need to be solved. But if you're a US Women's National Team fan, you leave Sunday feeling very good about the future of this program.
Yeah, and I hope that the games being available on Paramount Plus aren't limiting anybody from being able to watch. And I always, have something bad to say about the refs. I think I've no matter if it's MLS or internationally, but the US women were able to take it away despite all of the different adversities that got put in front of them, reffing and otherwise. So we'll see what that roster and those positions look like this coming summer.
Yeah, I was going to say, you mentioned adversity. Speaking about a team that dealt with adversity this weekend, on Sunday, we saw two of them, because RLA Galaxy.
Oh, well, see, when you said that you were feeling golden, I thought you meant about the Galaxy because they are unbeaten.
I mean, yeah, it's been an incredible start to the season, and I know we're about to hop into the Nashville game, but I don't think when you and I did our season previews and we were kind of just talking outside of the show, like, I think I said something along the lines of, like, if they get through the first three, four games of the season with like 3 points, 6 points, like, I will feel really good. They are kind of on track to do that. Like, and I think that's really fascinating. And there's a lot of things here that I did not expect. But and again, we will talk about the national game here in a second, but just from a general kind of like global perspective, they're doing. It just feels like this team's more resilient. Like, they don't know when they're beaten. And I think that's the thing. Like, I think you look back to the Miami game, especially, where, you know, Miami scores in the 90th minute. Of course, it had to be Lionel Messi. Who else? But then they go back and then they run down the field and basically create three different chances and probably should have stolen the game. In this game, you have the two goals that come, and then in the 89th or 90th minute, Deion's got this golden chance that he just somehow can't get off. Like, they don't know when they're beaten. Now, that isn't to say this is a perfect team. I think you going 2-0 down to a team that wants to give you the ball and basically say, beat us, is probably a bad thing. And a lot of the specter of Galaxy 2023 popped up in that Nashville game. But again, it's that sense, to tie it into the conversation we were having about the U.S. Women's National Team, it's a question of good teams figure things out. Good teams, even when they're faced with adversity, figure things out. And the Galaxy have done that every single time this year. They've figured out how to get through games. And I can point to so many moments where I was thinking to myself, yeah, last year we would have lost that game. Yeah, last year that would have been a loss. Okay, well, the San Jose game, they go up 1-0, and then I'm like, well, okay, San Jose would have figured out a way to get into that game, and it would have been a little different. Like, they are getting themselves through games in a way that I think is very impressive and bodes really well, because I think we knew this Galaxy team was going to be better than last year. I think it had to be, but I didn't think we were going to see this level of resolve and just, no, you're not going to take this from us this season.
Yeah, so really quickly, in case anybody hasn't noticed, this is actually episode 5 of this season, and we're just the Galaxy just finished up their third match. And I say that because I had the episodes labeled wrong, so keep in mind that those are going to be updating. And so what I'm saying is we said that we would go 5 matches before we would be able to fairly assess and say more about this team. There's two sides of the coin here. So one side, obviously, I'm thrilled the Galaxy are unbeaten. This is much better than last season. I think we can't stop comparing last season and even seasons past to, especially as fans, how we've been feeling, all things considered. But then on the other side, I feel like the Galaxy have dropped points when they should have gotten them. Like, this was a draw that felt like a loss. That's how, on my first watch, that's how it felt when I watched it live. Then I watched rewatched it later. Obviously, I do that to prepare for our wonderful episodes here. But after rewatching, this season does seem like it's in better shape. Now, it's not ideal for our team to be playing from behind, especially so late in the game. But there were other factors involved, and I will give Nashville the credit. They were a mixture of the first and second team. They had rotated 10 of their players because they had been in CONCACAF Champions Cup and they faced Inter Miami. Then they have these super subs, Mukhtar and Boyd. So even though they were able to snuff, for the most part, Pansil on our side, and we'll talk about those PKs in a minute. But I, for the Galaxy to be able to come back, score 2 goals, but then also not get scored on again, because when Mukhtar and Boyd came on, I was like, oh, this is it. Like, this is going to be a loss. And I think last season it would have been. Another factor is that Peck was missing. He had his wedding. He didn't know where he was going to be playing, and the guy's living his life, and but we missed him. I felt like that was another reason why the Galaxy struggled. And so, yeah, before I start talking about St. Louis, go ahead, Christian.
Yeah, I think I agree with you that, Peck would have been a really interesting addition to this game, just simply from a, kind of perspective of I don't think we really know exactly what we have with him. I think it was just interesting in terms of the way that the Galaxy approached this game, because this was closer to what I think Vanny believes is the way he wants to play. Like, his tactical philosophy is a lot closer to what we saw against Nashville, just using the ball to create and to unsettle opposition by moving side to side in a very efficient manner. Therefore, you pull a team apart and then in a moment strike. And I think that's what they were looking for. I don't think they ever got there. I think in the first half, they were closer to it than maybe they've been in recent thought. I mean, obviously, they've also kind of amended their tactical philosophy very significantly over the past couple of games for various reasons. I think, they wanted to play against the ball against, with Miami and hit them on the counter. And then I think the game against San Jose, that was a typical road game where you bunker counter and then just go from there. This was a game where they felt more, I guess, a little bit more comfortable in being the protagonist, and it worked to a certain extent. I just don't think they ever really got to the point where it was going to be considered, deadly. But again, I will say, yeah, I agree with you. When Boyd and Mukhtar come in, this changes a little bit because it's more the Nashville that we expected to see. Obviously, they're in the CONCACAF Champions Cup, so they were playing with a bit of an amended lineup. But again, I think Pantsil playing off that, they finally have a winger who wants to stay wide, and I think a lot of the best moments last year for the LA Galaxy came the minute that Diego Fagundes and Tyler Boyd showed up. Because when that happened, they had Tyler Boyd who wanted to stay wide, and it pulled teams apart. And that's exactly what Vinny wants to do. Pantsil wants to stay wide, and they're going to have Peck who also wants to stay wide. And I think when you do that, what that's going to do is build up a ton of open room in the center of midfield for Riqui Puig to just be phenomenal, just be what he is, which I think we saw multiple times this game, and will allow Day on a little bit more running room. Now, it took him a while to get there, and it took him a while for them to figure it out. And kind of the two goals come off them playing behind the ball and doing what they did against, Miami, and what they did against San Jose. And maybe that's the way moving forward. But when they shift into the 3-5-2 and actually like use the wingbacks to their full advantage, it looked pretty good. So I think there is a blueprint here. I think they understand it. I think it's just they have to get there. And Nashville did a really good job of showing them centrally and making it really hard for them to operate in the center channels. Like, that is what Nashville does to you, and the Galaxy fell for it. And it happens to good teams. It happens to great teams where, just a team, X dogs another team, as I say every now and then. And Nashville just X dogged them through 60 minutes, but then just didn't have it in them after 30. For that last 30, what Nashville did incredibly well was show the Galaxy inside and basically say, hey, look, we've got these three defensive midfielders just sitting around, go and try and beat them. And when you have Riqui Puig trying to run into three people, he's only one person, right? Like, you can't. I wish we could multiply him. I'd really like to, but that's going to be a problem, space problem. And then we get into the sense when Pantsil and Fagundes and Puig are all kind of operating the same exact, yard of space. There's a problem there, right? Like that, and that's because Nashville makes it a problem. So I do think there was moments here where I think the Galaxy just kind of shot themselves in the foot as best they could, which was 2023. But I think the difference between 2023 and 2024 is that this year, the Galaxy went out and figured out a 2-2 draw. Probably should have won this thing 3-2, to be quite honest with you. But problem solved and figured out a way to get around the central blocks, figured out a way to like to make chances happen and to create. And it required them to play a little against the ball, which was fine. But I do think that they ran into a very well-drilled, tactically smart team that basically said, all right, we know what we're all about, because they know what they're all about because they've been together for longer than this Galaxy team is. And it just, I feel like in this game, we saw a lot of just like little moments where it was like, oh yeah, this is still a team that's still trying to figure each other out.
Yes, and luckily these are players that have the IQ to be able to figure it out. I think that perhaps that's what was missing in the season past. But that first half, let's just go back and talk about that missed penalty kick. After that, I feel like is where the Galaxy kind of lost the wind in their sails, and I kept expecting the team to come back in that first half. And it's just one of those things where they don't come back till much later, and then they go down two goals, which is even more painful, especially since that penalty that Nashville was awarded, that could have been prevented. And I understand Pencil's frustration, of course, but man, you got to be better than that.
Yeah, I mean, the specter of the missed penalty pops up again, which I thought was something that we had left behind. But yeah, no, I do think they dropped their heads pretty significantly after that. I don't blame them, you know, because I think that penalty felt like, okay, we finally got a reward for all our pressure, score the penalty here. Because you have to keep in mind, like, they were really putting the heat on Nashville up until that point. I mean, Nashville didn't really have a sight on goal up until, you know, basically their first shot, which went in. They had had them dead to rights for about 20 minutes, 25 minutes up to that point. And then you get a penalty. Okay, cool. Convert. We're gonna, you know, carry on from here. And that doesn't happen. And then all of a sudden it's just like, oh my God, what do we have to do? You know, like what work do we have to put in order to make this thing happen? Is it our day to day? You know, that doubt creeps in. And I think it was just that's something they have to be better about, is they cannot let their heads drop when they have a moment like that. And I talked a lot about resilience, and I think there is still a ton of resilience in this team, but it's also got to be moments where you have to understand that you have to be in kill mode, where it's just you cannot let anyone, you know, like when you are given the opportunity to slit the throat, slit the throat. And I think that's been a concern for me over the past couple of games. Obviously they did get there in the end and manage the draw, and I think drawing in Nashville is not a bad result. Nashville is a good team. They were one of the top teams in MLS last year. But again, they did have a much better chance to, you know, put their foot on Nashville's throats and then just slowly, you know, choke them out of this game. And they didn't take it. And that's where my concern is, and I guarantee probably Vanny had them for that in the locker room at halftime. They just need to be a little bit more ruthless in terms of finishing. But that is like the thing we're talking about is finishing chances, right? Where if we were talking about, hey, they don't create chances, that's one issue. They don't finish the chances they're creating, and they're very high percentage chances. At some point, you're gonna start doing that. And that's where I'm not as concerned. Where I'm like, yeah, okay. This is kind of a disappointing result because they went out, they allowed Nashville to punch them in the face. They went down 2-0, and then they had to go claw themselves back into this game to get to 2-2. But I look at every chance they created, and if you look at the numbers around every chance they created, it's a high percentage chance. That means there is a very high probability that that chance is going in the back of the net. That means they are creating good chances. The creation bit was the problem last year. Now it's the finishing bit. And the thing about the Conway corollary, which is 5 games until we can actually accurately judge a team, is strikers take a little bit of time to warm up. Wingers take a little bit of time to warm up. We haven't seen Peck for 90 minutes yet. Pencil's only played, you know, 3 games. Like everything, the bones of this thing look incredibly good. Like that's what I'm trying to get at. It's like, I don't want any, I've seen people that are doom and gloom on Twitter and all those other stuff where I'm like, give it time. Like this group is good. Like there's a balance here. There's a focus here. They create high percentage chances. Riqui Puig is already off to a heater. Like the underlying numbers love this Galaxy team. And it wasn't like last year where the underlying numbers loved the Galaxy, but they still had that same defense. They actually are doing things defensively smart. Mickey Yamane, you know, like all that other stuff. I just think the underlying numbers love this team, and I actually believe them this time around.
Yeah, I think Nashville could actually be a real contender for the cup if they keep this up because, like I said, this was a mixture of their first and second team. I mean, that's a little scary. And so, you know, part of me was like, well, maybe I'm giving Nashville too much credit. Maybe,
I think you are.
yeah.
I do. Like I know I
Maybe the
yes.
Galaxy just played bad and made them look good.
Yeah, the Galaxy fell on their face in this game, but instead of just laying down on the ground, they got up.
Well, I just say that because it seems like Nashville has depth. And it's not that the Galaxy don't, obviously. I feel a lot better about the subs. And like I said, upon the rewatch, then I was less critical of Barry and Nelson. And, you know, but that said, okay, you know, that missed penalty, actually, their keeper is a 6'5" tree of a man. And so, Yes, you don't want to take a shot in the center of the goal like that, but hey, what are the chances that the goalkeeper is going to get his foot on it like that? So, look, like I said, upon the second rewatch, I didn't feel as bad. It's just the guys need to just continue that momentum if, come back sooner. I mean, to come back in the 80th minute, I was really starting to feel like, man, are we gonna still lose this? Like, are they gonna draw? Like, I didn't even think they were gonna draw it, to be honest with you. And then obviously the guys are still making mistakes, but it is still early. Like Ade, chesting down. Like, we're lucky that McCarthy is a great as a saver as he is, because he really made sure that this game was gonna be a draw.
Yeah, honestly, again, the concept of shooting themselves in the foot and a lot of those individual rest, we talked about it a lot in our preseason stuff, rest defense, that was going to be a big question. And I think Vanny tried to amend that by basically deciding to play against the ball, which is to say that when you get into possession and you don't have to worry about, or when you cede possession and you don't have to worry about rest defense because it's active defense, then the problem kind of goes away a little bit. When in a game like this, where Nashville was like, nope, have the ball. We'll see what we can do. The rest defense question did pop up every now and then. But I will say, you look at the way that they approached that last 20, the last 20 minutes where they were relentless as they were in the first 30 minutes of this game. That first 30 minutes, if they carry that over 90, or if they even play every game 70 minutes like that, and then just play the last 20 minutes, like, 10% better than when, they were out of the match, they're going to be fine. Like, yes, some very good teams will beat them, but they will give a match to every single team in the league if they play like those first 30 minutes for, I'd say, 70 minutes. They just need to extrapolate that over a longer period of time, which I think they can do because I think you look at the third game, they do have some two tough ones coming up. St. Louis is going to be difficult, then Seattle on the 30th. That's, well, three, because then you have LAFC after that. But they do have they have another gear, which I don't think they ever had in the years in years previous. Like, this team can just basically say, all right, hey, look, we've got to get going. We've got to, open up the taps a little bit. And then they do. And then it's really dangerous for any team that's playing them because it's like, oh God. I do think there were some communication errors that I think are like a lot of the errors I saw against Nashville were communication errors where it was something like, hey, is this your man? Wait, no, he's supposed to be the one that I'm covering. Okay, wait, hold up. And those are things that are, hey, you're betting in a couple new players. They're going to take time to settle into the league and to understand the communication flow of the person that you're playing alongside. Remember, we got Yamane, who's a critical part of this defensive line, because he's a little bit more of a conservative outside back than Oude, who's going to be 3,000 yards upfield. He's actually, he didn't just, he wasn't just in Nashville. He was up in like Charlotte at that rate in terms of how high he was bombing forward. You're gonna have those communication awkward moments. That's why I think it's really hard to judge after three games. But if I, gun to my head, if I have to judge, I like a lot of the base ideas of what I see. And I like a lot of the way that they operate in terms of moving teams, creating space, and then punishing that space. Now they have a guy in Pantsuhl that is quick, has guile, can definitely do that. With Peck, they have a guy that is quick, has guile, and can definitely do that. They have Rukwi Pooch, who can pick up his head on the dribble and just basically destroy any center defensive midfielder in this league. They have Yamane, who's actually one of the more smart outside backs I've seen in this league. You have Oude, who can attack and bomb forward really easily. Like, the bones of what I see are all just everything I see in terms of structure and all the things that I point to a good team. And I'm like, if they have this, then I think they're going to be good. I see with the Galaxy. Dejan scored in the first three games. You're nine scoring three goals in three games. That's a good thing. Like, that's a very good data point. There's a lot of just very good data points. They do have their moments, as every team does, but every data point where I look at where I'm like, yeah, if I see this in a team, I'm like, yes, this is good, has come up good for me. And I think that's where I'm like, I'm not saying they're MLS Cup contenders. Like, I'm not that naive. But I do think playoff team winning a round of the playoffs is more than doable. And I think this weekend, they have a really good shot to get their first home win. I think they have a really good shot to beat the brakes off of St. Louis because St. Louis is not the team we thought they were last year. They do have an opportunity here. And if they can go out there and basically emphatically beat them 4-0 or something like that, then all of a sudden, I'm going to cancel the Conway corollary and just be like, this team is actually very, very good.
Well, absolutely, this team is going to be facing back-to-back Kansas teams. So I'm just thinking about St. Louis being the real challenge at home because we're talking about assessing the first five games and looking at who's to come and who they've faced and all that. I feel like St. Louis, though, is going to give them a run for their money. I expect the Galaxy, not predict, expect the Galaxy to win at home. I mean, that's always the way it should go. But I feel like the guys are still figuring things out. I mean, Jovalich so far has been able to tap in. Puig obviously shows that when he can just tear it up in the midfield and get the goal. I need him to do more of that. And then Delgado's a real big key for either assisting or even he's taking shots. So I want to see the Galaxy be able to clean things up and tighten things up against St. Louis. Otherwise, yeah, they could, again, it could be another draw.
Yeah, but I think you look at a St. Louis team that hasn't really impressed. I can't point to a single result where I think to myself, like, oh, that makes me concerned. I mean, obviously it's 3 games into the season, Conway corollary and all the rest of it. But I mean, they opened the season with a 1-1 draw against Salt Lake. Salt Lake has not been pulling up trees by any stretch of the imagination. You look at then they go and they beat a incredibly disappointing St. or New York City side 2-0. And yeah, that's a good result, but is NYCFC that good? No, they're kind of really bad at the moment right now. And Nick Cushing in New York has probably the hottest seat in the league right now. They go to Austin, an Austin team that is generally, I mean, good, not great, draw 2-2. Like, there's no good data point around St. Louis. Like, they do score goals, and yes, like that will be a concern, and the Galaxy have to improve the defense. And I think, but it's always been like that. I think they're going to play against the ball. I think they're going to let St. Louis have a lot of the ball and then just hit them on the counter like they did with Miami, and look at how successful that was. Like, there is re like St. Louis has not posted a result where I'm sitting there being like, okay, yeah, that's actually something I need to be concerned about, right? It's results that are good, but they're not results where I'm like, okay, that's going to be a problem. Like, they have done what's expected of them. They are not the team that we saw beginning 2023. Like, I mean, that team was unreal. And I think you look at them now, they've come back to earth a little bit more. It's a different philosophy. And I think everything St. Louis does well, the Galaxy match up well against, slow, methodical, and build up. They give you time to kind of get your defensive shapes. They, want, set piece goals. It is a very methodical team, and the Galaxy struggle against teams that are quick. They are not that. The Galaxy will also be able to spring numbers forward very quickly. St. Louis struggles against counterattacks. Like, I mean, just th there is reason to believe that everything that the Galaxy is doing well this year is going to make St. Louis very uncomfortable. So I do think the Galaxy have a very good shot in this game. And I also think you felt the energy. Obviously, the Miami game, I think, was obviously an outlier just from a, crowd energy vibes perspective. This, you look at the way that this game is shaping up from a crowd energy perspective, it's going to be there. Like, a lot of people are fired up for this game, so you have to feel like just the Galaxy have to be favored in this game, and you've got to feel like they want to put on a show considering the way that the season has started.
I'm just not trying to get too ahead of myself, but just looking at who could snap the Galaxy's unbeaten streak then, because if we're talking like this, and I know we don't do predictions on the show, but I'm just saying, like, okay, St. Louis, Kansas City, Seattle Sounders obviously don't want the unbeaten streak to get snapped in the rivalry match of El Tráfico. I don't see Vancouver as being the one that snaps it. I don't see Austin being the one that snaps it. You know what I mean? So, but the reality is that this is MLS, that the Galaxy, I don't know how long this unbeaten streak can run for.
Yeah, they need to get through the next two games unbeaten, I think. I think that would be the most important thing. If they can do that, then the Seattle game, there's a lot less pressure on that game. And then LAFC away, again, one-off. We know how those games go. It's just always weird, strange things happen in El Tráfico. But I will say that is an opportunity, because LAFC is not the team we thought they were, and they've struggled to start the year. So we might be getting them at exactly the right time. But yeah, no, I think if they can get through these next two games unbeaten, that would be a huge boost to the rest of the year. And I also think it would get the team just fired up, you know, like intent. Like, obviously, I don't always like talking about intangibles and vibes and vibe checks and feels and all the rest of it. But I do think going the first five games of the season unbeaten, that would just fire up the team in a way where it's like, hey, look, this is a group that is still trying to get to know each other, but we went five games unbeaten. Like, that's something to hang our hats on. And I think that would be really, really big for this team. And also, I think for the club in general, because it does feel so much better. The club needed this, right? Like, the club needed a great start to this year, and they got it, and it's been amazing to see.
Yeah, and then just the Galaxy picking up points that will matter later. When you're looking down the barrel of October, this is always what happens to Galaxy. Oh, you drop the 2 points here, you drop 2 points there, and now it's like, well, you could have used those points. So yeah, obviously the more points that Galaxy can collect, the better. But they have to get in the back of the net. They have to finish. I get all the possession, but to me, it's not convincing enough. And it's still very early in the season, obviously, but it's not convincing enough if they're not going to be finishing.
Yeah, I think this is going to be I feel an offensive, like, breakout coming, and I think this is going to be the game.
Well, that's going to be really exciting to see at home once again. And yeah, let's get those 3 points.
Cannot wait. I'm excited, and hopefully we'll see you all there.
Stay tuned.